Let's pray for the masses. Lord, I ask that you speak to all of us today about the greater witness that is out there, that we might be part of that witness in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to date myself today. In the olden days, before the turn of the century, before the internet, there was a marvelous prophet who could see into the future and discern things that are hidden. His name was Karnak the Magnificent. Now, that's number one. The second thing is, we are called, one of our ways that God talks about us, we're called the flock of God. So we're God's sheep, and we are the sheep of his pasture. And we say the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Well, the magician, the magnificent Karnak, had something to say about us sheep.
Sis boom ba.
Sis boom ba.
Describe the sound made when a sheep explodes.
Sis boom ba. Now, in keeping with Karnak, here's my version of prognostication. The answer is Walter Payton, Nolan Ryan, Timex Watches, and Moses. The question is, what takes a licking and keeps on ticking? Now, all four are our answer to reliability and durability. So let's forget about the Timex watches, because that may or may not be true since it's only advertising. If you can't say anything else about Walter Payton and Moses, they took a licking and kept on ticking. Walter Payton came to the Chicago Bears in 1975. As I say, I'm dating myself today. The year that I became a pastor and head of staff in Kentucky. During his NFL career, Walter Payton played in 190 games in 13 years, and he missed only one game, and he could have played in that one as well, but the coaches wouldn't let him. Almost every time he touched the ball, 5 yards later, somebody would clobber him, or he would clobber them. You talk about reliability and durability. His reliability and durability is unparalleled in football history. And I'm going to let him speak for himself.
And you feel like falling down, I'll carry you home tonight.
The definition for durable in the dictionary is this: able to exist for a long time without significant deterioration. Lasting. Walter Payton certainly was durable. I think about flexible tensile strength as the real test of durability. Perseverance brought to its highest meaning is when a person is continually pounded upon unmercifully by external forces and yet is able to hold on to one's integrity, poise, and place in the world. Which brings me to Nolan Ryan. How many of you have ever heard of him? A few of you. Wait till second service. Hardly anybody. On May 1st, 1991, that was 25 years ago, Nolan Ryan was the starting pitcher for the Texas Rangers. He got up. He felt terrible that day. His back hurt. His heel on his right foot hurt. His middle finger on his pitching hand hurt. And he felt very old. He was taking a lot of Advil because of all his aches and his pains, and he was the starting pitcher that night. He hurt all over, but all the best players play hurt. So he went out that night with the intent of getting the job done. And get it done, he did. Not only that night, but for 25 years previously, he had been getting the job done. On May 1st, 1991, Nolan Ryan, at the age of 44, pitched his seventh no-hitter. He had never considered himself exceptional, but for 27 years, he had been getting the job done. Let's show the clip.
Strikeouts for Nolan Ryan. Breaking ball, and that's it. Strikeout number 4,000 for Nolan Ryan.
You don't think about, well, you know, I'm going to no-hit these guys.
He threw no.
Retired number 34 was thrown to his old catcher, Alan Ashby, and Alan caught the fifth no-hitter thrown by Nolan against the Dodgers. I think he threw him a split finger. One of those circle changes.
He was always able to rise to the occasion.
I always wanted my...
You notice he had the same number as Walter, by the way. He had 324 victories in 27 years. He had 5,714 strikeouts. And 26 times he had 15 or more strikeouts in a game. He pitched 60 shutouts, which was one-fifth of his winnings. He had 7 no-hitters. Besides that, 12 one-hitters. Nolan Ryan got the job done. And not only that, but he had his moments of greatness as well. He reminds us of a quality that is a common denominator in any form of greatness: reliability. It's the bread and butter characteristic of achievement. It is the shared ingredient behind retirement pins, Hall of Fame awards in baseball and football, and golden anniversary. It is that quality that produces not momentary heroics, flashes in the pans, but monumental lives, reliability. Which brings me to Moses, who is probably the most outstanding in the biblical Hall of Fame. He took a licking and kept on ticking. Moses was certainly durable and reliable. He had tensile strength of character matched by true humility, and humility is just the knowledge of who you are in God's sight and resting in that knowledge. Moses stood in front of Pharaoh, received his contempt. Contempt cuts deeply into our spirit and causes most people to waver in their course of action or lose direction completely. It is most common for us to run from our enemies or to hide from that which comes against us or to attack when we are treated unjustly or with evil intent. It is most uncommon to stand on one's or hold one's tongue or commit ourselves to the Lord's mercy and justice. Moses endured the complaints of the people and remained gracious. They complained about water, about food, about the wilderness, about Moses, and their memory was very short concerning the sadistic actions of Pharaoh. I wonder how deep this unreasonable complaint cut into the spirit of Moses at times. Their complaint was continuous, like a leaky faucet. All the camp became a camp of chaos and bedlam and abuse against Moses at times. But Moses took a licking and kept on ticking. But he did take a licking. He had to make a decision at some point, either endure or despair, either stand firm or sink into the muck and mire of their complaint, either to serve God or serve the murmurers. In fact, at one point, Moses said, "I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me." Moses also endured the criticism of some who were closest to him, Miriam and Aaron, his sister and brother. I suppose some people can ignore to a large extent the contempt of the world and the complaint of the gripers, but this must have been the toughest test for him. His own household spoke against him. Jesus knew about this when he said, "And a man's foes shall be those of his own household." Moses was always the leader, and even when other leaders were in confusion and conflict over their future as a people in the promised land, the people stood against Moses, but they forgot that God stood with him. And the old saying is true, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. It is not until confusion, complaint, trials, temptations, and tribulations come upon us that we will know whether we are durable and reliable or not. Now, we are called to follow Jesus and be his disciples. But there is a dark side to following Jesus which will test all of us and try all of us. And it isn't from God, it's always from people. The Bible has its share of reliable saints. They are the bindings of the Bible. These saints were spurred by a gut-level conviction that they had been called by no one less than God himself, and their lives were marked by consistent and predictability, and as a result, their work wasn't affected by moods or cloudy days or rocky trails. Their performance graph didn't rise and fall with roller coaster regularity. They were addicted to accolades or applause, nor deterred by grumpy bosses or empty wallets. Instead of striving to be spectacular, they aspired to be accountable and dependable. And since their loyalty was not determined by their comfort, they were just as faithful in dark prisons as they were in spotlighted pulpits. Reliable servants, they are the bindings of the Bible. And I want to allow the Bible itself to deliver the message this morning. Let me deliver the message from the Word of God. This message is called Bindings of the Bible and the Church and is delivered by the writer of Hebrews. You have a long scripture in your bulletin, and it's part of chapter 11. Now, I'm going to read this for you. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's on the cover of your bulletin. For by it the men of old received divine approval. By faith we understand that the world was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things which do not appear. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he received approval as righteous, God bearing witness by accepting his gifts. He died. But through his faith, he is still speaking. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was attested as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, took heed and constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was to go. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received what was promised, but having seen it and greeted it from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Now I'm down to where Moses takes place, verses 23 through 31 in this chapter. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered abuse suffered for the Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. This chapter goes on. And it speaks of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, the children of Israel. And then it says, and I pick up at verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, received promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenching raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their death by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and scourging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering over deserts and mountains in dens and caves of the earth. Now, what we have in this scripture right here are the Walter Paytons and the Nolan Ryans of the Bible. Reliable servants, durable servants, they are the bindings of the Bible. Their acts are rarely cited. Their names are seldom mentioned except in church. Yet, were it not for their loyal devotion to God, Many great events would never have occurred. They are reliable. Say that word with me, will you? Reliable. The word liable means that you are responsible for something. It's usually used in a legal context. If someone is liable, they are responsible. Re, or R-E, in front of that word means over and over again, they are responsible. So the word reliable means a person is responsible over and over and over again. Responsible servants who are responsible over and over again for getting the job done. Today, this church is also about church bindings as well as the Bible people. Now, a binding on a book is something that holds that book together. And if that binding goes bad, the book will fall apart. The book bindings hold it together. It's the glue or whatever it is that holds those pages together. Otherwise, you lose pages, or they fall out, or they get out of order in the story that you're reading in terms of that. Book bindings. Church bindings. People of the church who are Nolan Ryans of the church. People who have been responsible over and over again. Today, we are recognizing my wife, Berta. It would be irresponsible of me not to at least raise her up in terms of what has happened in the past few years. She became the director of Christian education and congregational life in 1999. That means that she took the job before the turn of the century. Along with her, Marcia Haycraft retired at the end of April to this, and she was the administrative assistant and basically ran the church in terms of a lot of that part of it, the administrative part, for 9 years. So this past year, we have had two ladies who have spent 25 years together holding this church together. Bindings. Now, part of that bindings was when we actually moved over here 7 years ago. And let me tell you something. That was a work. And for those two gals who took care of stuff and Berta who took care of that stuff, I'm here to tell you. Part of the reason we're here and in such good shape is because of what they did. Now, I've been married for Berta forever. And if I were to give a eulogy at her funeral, which God forbid that should happen before I die, I would use Proverbs chapter 31. Now, if you read that proverb, it talks about a wife, a good wife, and that's what I have. But it's also been what she's been doing here for 16 years. She's been taking care of the business behind the scene. But anyway, she and Marcia were the Nolan Ryans of this church in the past 10 years, so to speak. I want to also recognize reliable saints that some of us may have had on occasion. You may have come from another church because where you might have grown up, maybe where you have attended for a while, and I want to say a couple of things to those people. First is, thank you to the senior saints, you might say. You know, for the generations that took care of me, and as I was growing up and in my early years, the generations of people who have been out there in churches, and this church included, who have been the ones who are prayer warriors, who have been the ones who have cleared the forest, you might say, especially to our reliable saints who managed to get us over here from the other building, but also to start Woodland Chapel back in the 1950s. Thank you for the enduring trials of that vision that gave us a chance to go forth into our future, endure the trials for the next generation. I want to say thank you to Sunday school teachers, whether you're in this church or others. And I'd like for all of you who have ever taught Sunday school, please stand. Thank you. You folks have been Sunday school teachers, whether in this church or in another church that you have come from. Thank you for the countless Sunday school lessons that get prepared and delivered with tenderness. And I remember when I was in Sunday school, I had to give my Sunday school teachers dyspepsia, I'm sure. Reliable servants. Thanks for the ministers we have all known. And they thought we weren't listening. But sometimes we did, didn't we? Thank you to the ministers for their stubborn sowing of God's word, which might be bearing fruit right now. But they may never see what they planted this side of the great harvest. Thank you for church leaders who have vision and courage and patience to tackle the future and lead others whose vision is not as strong or clear, reliable servants. I would like for any ruling elders, past, present, deacons and teaching elders, please stand if you've been an officer. Reliable servants. Past, present, and future, who practice on Monday what you hear on Sunday. Thank you to servants who spend selfless hours with kids or on a computer or in meetings, committee meetings. Oh, my God, the committee meetings. Thanks for those who serve on their knees or go to hospitals or go away from families. It is on the back of your faithfulness that the gospel is carried. Church bindings. What holds a church together is the bindings. Reliable servants, the Walter Paytons, the Nolan Ryans of the church. Those who bind the church together over the years and the centuries, you can be called on cold, dark mornings, and you will deliver the goods. You can be sent over rough terrain, and you will make it on time. You can go miles without the pampering of a pat on the back. You'll sleep on the floor in a prison or a gym to bring God's word. You never complain, or at least, not much, you get the job done. Two things that I want to say. First is thank you. The second is this. If you're still above ground, keep pitching. Your Hall of Fame award is not yet. The key to all the reliable servants, the bindings of the Bible, the bindings of the church, is not the age at which they get started, but that they were faithful until the end. Thank you for the Walter Paytons, the Nolan Ryans of this church especially. Let us read together Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Let's pray. Lord, for the many people who have touched our lives over the years, we give thanks. And especially we give thanks for the 16 years that Berta put in here. And I also give thanks for the 9 years that Marcia put in here. And for the work that they did to hold this church together during that time. In Jesus' name, amen.